So good morning again. It is great to see you today as we make our way through the season of Lent and as we approach week by week the coming of the good news of Easter. Our second scripture reading today is one that I suspect many of you are familiar with. It's a piece of scripture that seems to show up all over the place, not only in the songs that we just heard sung, but also on billboards. Have you ever seen something like this? That's our verse. Or maybe under football players' eyes. Or maybe behind the goalposts when someone's kicking a point after the touchdown in a game. Anybody remember that guy with the afro wig? The rainbow wig would go around? That's the guy. We see it in tattoos. You can show me those later. We see it on In-N-Out burger cups. You seen this? A little secret for you. I want to show you one more. We even see it in people's wedding dresses. That's a real picture. I can't believe it. So this is a famous passage of scripture from the Bible that has been called the gospel in miniature. And I want to read it for you today as part of our larger second reading and discover together what it might mean for us today. So listen. This comes to us from John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everybody who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Just a quick show of hands. How many of you had to memorize that verse along the way? John 3:16. Everybody memorize it? A lot of you. I did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. This has been called the good news in a nutshell. This small verse reveals so much about who God is and what God does. Who God is, the God who loves the world, and what God does or has done in sending the Son, Jesus, into the world, not to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. This is God's purpose statement, and it's given to us today. The word that is used in this passage for the world that God loves is cosmon in the Greek of the New Testament. It comes from the word cosmos. The cosmos is an ordered system. So it's a description of the universe, perhaps, or all of creation, or of the world. The passage goes on to say that since God loves this world so much and everybody in it, that God doesn't send Jesus to come and condemn the world or keep God and the world separate. But it says, so that, that's the conjunction, so that the world might be saved through him. And you might be sitting here today in church thinking, thanks, Pastor, I got it. God loves me, God loves the world, I'm not condemned. Check mark. Check plus. Let's go. You know, that might be the perspective that you take. We've heard this passage before. We've heard this message before. It can seem so simple. Maybe you've been in church all your life and you've heard this over and over. Maybe you're just coming to church now in a new season of life and yet you say, yeah, I got this. I understand what you're saying. But you know, as your preacher, I always want to complicate your life. That's true. I want to complicate that which would seem simple, and then I also want to simplify those things that are so complicated. I want to suggest to you today that John 3:16, this famous passage, can actually be a stumbling block for your faith, because it would suggest a reductionistic approach to the gospel. There was a book some years ago that was entitled, What's the Least I Can Believe and Still Be a Christian? Did you read it? That's true. Sometimes we fall into this way of thinking. Let me reduce down the Christian faith into the smallest or simplest or easiest form, to reduce the gospel to believe that John 3:16 is all there is to it, and yet there's so much more. There's an old story that preachers like to tell. It's about a father and son, and the son has just graduated from college, and he's about to transition out into the world and a life on his own. And his father is so proud of his son. He really loves his son. He wants to see him grow and flourish. And it's graduation time, and the son has his eye on a graduation gift. He wants a BMW. It's a nice car. It's a status symbol. He believes he's earned it. He's worked really hard. He thinks his father, who loves him, will give it to him. And so after graduation, the father comes to his son and says, Son, I have a gift for you because I love you so much. And he hands him a Bible. And you could see the son's face drop. The father says, This is the greatest gift I can give you. And the son gets angry. He's indignant. He flies off the handle. I wanted a BMW and you give me a Bible? You don't love me. You don't care about me. And he storms out of the house. He storms out of his father's life. He does not return, breaks off contact, goes about his life, sure that this father doesn't love him that much because he gave him this dumb Bible. And some years later, the father gets sick and he dies. And the son returns to the family home for the funeral. And he goes into his father's office. And there on the table, he sees this same Bible. And for the first time ever, he opens it up, and inside are the keys to the BMW. And they were there the whole time. You see, the father had wanted to give his son this gift, and yet he wanted him to know there's so much more. There's something really good, and I'm glad for you to have it, but for you to live a full life, a life with meaning and purpose, you're going to have a lot of growing to do, learning to do, and this can help. It's the same way with our passage from Scripture today. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. By the end of this sermon, you're going to memorize it again. This is the gospel in miniature. It's portable. It's a way that we can take it with us, easy to remember. But we have to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so much bigger than just this one verse. It's a great gift that the Father wants to give to us, the assurance of our salvation about a God who loves us. It's good news for the world, and yet it does not stand alone. It's not the only thing to know. Gospel reductionistic thinking would say, just memorize this one verse and you're good to go. Or maybe pray this one prayer. Use these exact words, and then you can go to heaven when you die. As if that were the message of the gospel. This spring in our Grove groups, the small groups of our church, we're doing a study on the book of James from the New Testament. And the book of James chapter 2 puts it this way. It says, What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you have no works? Can your faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, Go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. He is saying that knowing the God who loves the world and the God who loves you and the God who sends his son Jesus, not that you may be condemned, but so that you may be saved, this is good news. But it's not the whole story of a Christian life. It's not maturity of faith, which is what we seek. He says, if you have faith like this, believing the right things but have no change of heart, Do not act on the good news. It's as if your faith is worthless. When we reduce the good news about what God has done in Christ into just saying or thinking or believing the right religious things, we can miss the point. I love that passage from Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, "We will no longer be infants tossed about by waves and carried by every wind of teaching and by every cunning, by clever cunning of men with their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ himself, who is the head." We will in all things grow up into Christ himself, who is the head. You see, reducing the gospel into just one small verse or one small bite makes it easy to remember, which is good. But I want to encourage you today not to fall into that way of thinking where we believe that that is all there is to the life in Christ. We are called to grow up, not to remain infants, those who are easily tossed around by waves of rhetoric or wheeled out of the sanctuary. Happens sometimes. I've shared with you before, and many of you know my own experience being in the Peace Corps as a volunteer in the West African nation of Cape Verde or Cabo Verde. And sometimes I'll introduce myself in a group and say I was a Peace Corps volunteer and I became a Presbyterian minister, and then they'll say, "Whoa, that's crazy. Aren't those two the opposite of each other? Aren't those Peace Corps volunteers a bunch of hippies?" And some of them are, but some of you Presbyterians are too, so let's be serious. But for me, this was a deepening of my spiritual life. This was a place where my faith grew. I grew up in a church just like this one, very similar to PCLG. Next week, we're hearing from the Mexico mission team as they return. I grew up going on those kinds of mission experiences, shaped and formed by a congregation who loved me and gave me a base from which to grow. I was safe in that John 3:16 territory. But then through experiences in the world, I came to see that I needed to bridge my faith with my life. What I believed and thought about and said had to connect with what I did and how I lived and how I loved. I believe that our church has a distinctive calling to help people grow up in their faith. I believe our church has that distinctive calling from God. Not a reductionistic gospel to take root, where we would hide out in our clubhouse and keep the world at bay. Nor is it the way that we would be sending our children and our youth out into the world unprepared for the waves that are out there, for the troubles that will come, without being equipped with a sturdy faith, a faith that can last, a faith that's big enough to handle some of life's big questions and big problems that are waiting outside the doors and are waiting for you in the week that is about to begin. That's the ongoing work of our church, that week by week, as we gather together, we grow in our faith and understanding, and we seek to integrate a sense of who God is, what God has done, and who we are called to be, what we're called to do in response. I'll give you one example of the way this is working out in our church. This summer, we're trying out a new program. It's kind of a pilot. It's called the PCLG Ministry Fellows. And the PCLG Ministry Fellows is a group of college students who have grown up in our church, who we believe have leadership gifts, and we are bringing them in for a summer, kind of an internship-type setting. And we seek to help them deepen their faith as they learn and serve in their church. We want to continue to invest from our strong children's program, through our strong youth program, into some of those college years and beyond. And so these summer college students are going to be here, and you'll see them. You'll see them in leadership in various aspects of church life, in worship, in mission, in community life, in youth, in all kinds of areas. And we sat down this last week, and we said, what are some of the themes, the gospel themes, that we want to explore with these young people? Pastor Erica laid them out for us. Here's some of the things we're going to talk about together and learn about. Things like grace and hospitality, community life, listening to the Holy Spirit, and listening to each other. Spiritual gifts, gratitude and giving thanks, mission and vocation. What am I going to do with my life? Lament, which means crying out honestly to God in the face of life's broken places. And developing faith practices that will last. These are some of the themes that we're going to focus on with college students to intentionally help them grow and mature in their faith. But you know, these are the same themes that we talk about over the course of a month or a year or a life as a church. This is what it looks like to develop and mature our faith too. So we live in a world that would love to boil down the Christian faith, the Christian message, into just a box that you can check on a form. You know, Protestant or Catholic, mainline or evangelical. Political parties would like to boil it down too, so they'd have a sense of how you are going to vote. Companies would like to gather that information and get you down into a category to know how you're going to shop. But my prayer for you and for our church as we continue on together, as we continue to grow up into Christ who is the head, is that we would not settle for a reductionistic gospel, one that divides our faith from our life. Instead, we are called to bring these together, to let the good news of who God is and what God has done in Christ direct and inform all aspects of how we live. And I want to end today by suggesting that this is a lifelong project. It's something that we talk about here on Sunday mornings together. It's something that we work on in the summer with college interns. And here in a moment, we're going to see this same idea enacted as we call forward a little baby named Sadie to be baptized. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved Sadie. Here's her picture. I'll show it to you. For God so loved this little child, he gave his only begotten Son, that as she comes to a faith in Christ, she too would not perish, but she too would experience the fullness of life. God loves this child, and our hope is that she will grow up in this place, encouraged by all of you, nurtured in the faith, supporting her parents, her dear, sweet parents who don't know what they're in for yet, as they help her grow. That we would not be caught in a reductionistic faith, thinking this is the end of her road. It is just the beginning. And a life with Christ that is zesty and alive leads us from the beginning of life through the middle portion all the way to the end and then beyond the end. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. May it be so for you this day. Amen.